answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What we are seeing every day in Gaza is devastating. We have seen reports of families eating leaves or animal feed, women giving birth to malnourished babies with little or no medical care, and children dying from malnutrition and dehydration. As I have said many times, too many innocent Palestinians have been killed. And just a few days ago, we saw hungry, desperate people approach aid trucks, simply trying to secure food for their families after weeks of nearly no aid reaching northern Gaza. And they were met with gunfire and chaos.
VP Harris was right on point up to that mention. They were met with gunfire, suggesting that the people were being shot at to keep them from getting to the food. That did not happen. The Israeli Defense Forces were with the trucks bringing in the convoys, and it's understandable that there'd be basically a mob rush for food and water. I fully understand that. If you're a father trying to get food, water for your wife, your children, or if some of your children are doing the same, trying to get some for the family or themselves. But her statement, as she phrased it, was suggesting they were shot at. Shots were fired trying to disperse the crowd, and it caused panic. And even some of the truck drivers panicked and started revving up their trucks and trying to drive, and they ran over numerous people. Last count I saw, maybe 150 were killed in the stampede and are being crushed by the trucks. I don't know of anyone that's been identified as being shot by an Israeli bullet. If they were trying to do it, they were right there. I mean, in fact, Israeli satellite had a drone over the scene, and you see all the people approaching the trucks in a mob scene. So they could have lit all of them up if that was the intent, but that was not the intent. And her story of children being born to malnourished mothers and the children emaciated to begin with, that's got to be heartbreaking. And we're not talking about politics here, my friend. We're talking about humanity. Put politics, put your dislike for Harris aside and everything else, and just look at the reality of the situation. But you have to balance it against, why are they in that situation? We're going to break it down for you again. I'm glad to have you on board with us. This is March 4, 2024. The second hour of Larry Connors USA, back to back for you. Every Monday through Friday, we're here for you on News Talk STL, number one for the most live and local coverage conservative talk in the St. Louis area. Number one for the most conservative talk, and might be in the near future the only real voice of conservative talk after George Soros and his group take control of other stations in town and across the nation. That's why your support and you spreading the word is more important than ever before. And also why it's important for you to support our sponsors. They're keeping us on the air. And keep in mind that on this program, I don't just deal with just conservative issues. I deal with those that of interest to independents and up to liberals, and then sometimes espouse some of their points. Mainly not even as a devil's advocate, but to show you, look at both sides, then make your decision. And you make the decision. Don't let someone dictate or tell you, not even me. Question me at every point. Reminding you, when we are on the air, you can always watch, because we are live streaming at News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, and YouTube, or at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. No YouTube. They won't let us on anymore. I could care less. And remember, if you miss anything, audio or video, you can always go back to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up, or Larry Connors USA Facebook. All right, so this is a Monday, and there is no peace deal between Israel and Hamas. Contrary to what President Biden was stating the other day, one piece I have here in front of me says that he broke his pledge to deliver a deal for Hamas to release Israeli hostages, a pledge he made a week before on the eve of the Michigan presidential primary when he faced a large protest vote. And yes, he did. He lost about 1,000 plus, maybe 100,000 votes that said they weren't going to vote for him. They didn't vote for anyone else. But he still won 600 plus thousand. So it wasn't that big of a deal in their viewpoint. But I don't remember him actually making a pledge. I know he talked about, after an appearance with talk show host Seth Meyers, that progress is underway, and he expected that we would see a ceasefire by next Monday, this Monday. I don't take that as a pledge. I take that as a hope, which obviously maybe he thought so, but I read deeper the same copy. And this source is, I believe, Breitbart. So I would question them saying that he made a pledge, a promise that it would be resolved by then. I never saw anything that would confirm that. Maybe I overlooked it. So that could have happened, but they say he made his pledge as he faced a protest vote by roughly 100,000 Democrats in Michigan who voted uncommitted to protest the war in Gaza. Well, here we are Monday, and whether he pledged or not, we don't have one. Israel believes of the 134 hostages still in the custody of Hamas, maybe 100, 101 might still be alive. But still wanting to know how many are alive before they make any major irreversible concessions, such as releasing some terrorists who've been convicted for deadly attacks on Israelis in the past. I want to go back to VP Harris talking about those who are caught in the midst of this who were not active in October 7. They did not cross into Israel and kill innocent men, women, and children. They were just living their lives, not even aware probably it was going on in Gaza. Palestinians, women, children, many men. But then when the Israelis decide to respond, they're caught in the middle. They are so-called collateral damage, and they become casualties of war. VP Harris.
People in Gaza are starving. The conditions are inhumane. And our common humanity compels us to act. As President Joe Biden said on Friday, the United States is committed to urgently get more life-saving assistance to innocent Palestinians in need. Yesterday, the Department of Defense carried out its first airdrop of humanitarian assistance, and the United States will continue these airdrops. And we will work on a new route by sea to deliver aid. And the Israeli government must do more to significantly increase the flow of aid. No excuses.
Well, there are excuses as long as they continue to hold hostages and Hamas continues to battle. Hamas, the same ones who hide under baby beds and then under hospitals, if they would fully surrender and give everything up and surrender all the hostages, immediate aid would go in. Israel has set a deadline for March 10 to produce a deal before it attacks Hamas in Rafah. That is the Hamas last stronghold in southern Gaza. March 10 is the start of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. And they're saying if you want a deal, you must have it in place and be ready to go before March 10, or we will invade Rafah. And here is where VP Harris, maybe for the progressives, especially those among the squad, steps out of line because she actually is condemning Hamas.
Hamas cannot control Gaza. And the threat Hamas poses to the people of Israel must be eliminated. Hamas is a brutal terrorist organization that has vowed to repeat October 7th again and again until Israel is annihilated. Hamas has shown no regard for innocent life, including for the people of Gaza, who have suffered under its rule for almost two decades. And Hamas still holds dozens of hostages for nearly 150 days now. Innocent men and women, including American citizens, who were brutally taken from their homes and from a concert. I will repeat, the threat of Hamas poses to the people of Israel must be eliminated. And given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire. Yeah. For at least the next 6 weeks, which is what is currently on the table.
Well, that was on the table between what Biden had been doing, pressuring the leaders of Egypt and Qatar, but it did not happen as of today, and it won't happen at this point before Ramadan, March 10. But you heard how she was basically condemning Hamas. Well, filmmaker, left-wing activist Michael Moore says Palestinians are being held in an open-air prison, oppressed for the past 15 years. Well, the Palestinians are controlled by Hamas. They took over the election, the first election they had a chance to, and they haven't had an election since. Michael Moore is still standing by Hamas is not the enemy, it's the Jews. VP Harris went on to direct attack against Hamas. I just wonder how that's going to reflect and echo throughout the leftist chambers. How dare you call out Hamas? We didn't hear you chortch the Israelis. Michael Moore is doing it. Well, this morning, the Supreme Court handed down a unanimous ruling regarding states trying to keep Donald Trump off the ballot.
Fox News alert and reading this. The U.S. Supreme Court rules in favor of former President Donald Trump in his appeal of a Colorado ballot disqualification. That applies to Colorado. In all likelihood, it will apply to other states as well. Live to Shannon Bream for her initial analysis and reaction now. Did you have the inside word, Shannon? Hello.
Okay. So what we have from the court this morning is this decision in favor of President Trump. They essentially say the judgment of the Colorado Supreme Court that he could be kicked off the ballot in this manner does not stand, has to be overturned. There is discussion at the end of the main decision that says, you know, there would be essentially a patchwork across the states.
A patchwork across the states, which obviously we can't have. Now, keep in mind, this is for a primary election, but the ruling also will involve the general election yet to come in November. In the last hour, in case you missed it, I strongly encourage you pull it up and listen to it. Hans Butkowski, who's the Heritage constitutional expert, and we're talking about this decision. And one thing that struck me is what Amy Coney Barrett did. Again, it was a unanimous ruling that Trump cannot be banned from the election, but she joined three of the liberals in the court criticizing that maybe they needed going farther rather than they need to go further in resolving the Trump case, because what they end up saying, it can only be done through Congress. And you've got to listen to that, because Hans' response to what Amy Coney Barrett did, I found fascinating, and how he described his thoughts when he heard what she did. That's in the previous hour, so make sure you pull it up. But based on this decision, let's go back to Fox News breaking it down.
There is discussion at the end of the main decision that says, you know, there would be essentially a patchwork across the states. This was one of the worries that the justices had, and the questions that came together in argument were, what happens if we tell one state they can do this? The chief justice said, what if one state decides, okay, I'm kicking off a Republican, another state says, okay, I'm kicking off a Democrat, and then we get down to just a handful of states that actually have all of the candidates' names on the ballot, what would that do to this country? So it sounds sounds like the majority of the court has come together in this voice to say what happened in Colorado is not correct. It sounds like they're saying states don't have this power, but essentially this is something that should be left to Congress.
Well, to that extent, again, Hans von Spakovsky in the previous hour deals specifically with that. I'm not going to try to paraphrase him. He's much more learned mind than me, but I will tell you that his reaction to what Judge Amy Coney Barrett had to say in a statement, well, let me tell you, you should go back and listen to it if you missed it. In the meantime, we have the Biden progressives continue to push fear about the coming election. The fear is that you won't be allowed to vote. They're trying to nullify your vote before you even get a chance to. And in fact, pushing that at a black church in Selma, Alabama, Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements.
All right, let's break that down. Access to voting, no one's denying someone the access to vote. Ballot boxes, if you're not secured, they can be stuffed. Would you want them stuffed with the candidate you didn't want to win? And as far as the ID, are you suggesting, here he was in a black church in Selma, Alabama, that the minorities are just not smart enough to get an ID or they don't know how to do it? I mean, at what point do these communities stand up and say, you're playing us? Well, according to a new Siena poll that just came out, many of them are recognizing that. In the Siena College poll, and the New York Times said if the election were held today, Trump would win 48% of the support overall, Biden 43%. It's within a matter of 3.5% margin of error, so you could say it's not decided on that. But they point to the working voters of color who did not attend college. Biden won 72% of them in 2020, and currently he leads non-white voters who did not graduate from college over Trump only 47% to 41%. Now, that's a six-point difference, but when you compare that 47% to where Biden had 72% of them previously, that's because Garland and others continue to insist they're out to try to keep you from voting. And they want to push Jim Crow laws as if they still exist today. Jim Crow law was, if you don't own land, you can't vote. All right, okay, if you can read, you can vote, otherwise you can't. If you can't write your name, you can't vote. Those are definite efforts to keep people of color from voting. We're past that. We still want to have good, secure elections. Coming up, Vice President Harris, as I said, might have stepped out of the progressive line remarks you made about Hamas, but Hunter Biden might have really been out of line when it came to talking about daddy behind closed doors. That's still to come. Up next, Missouri Senator Hawley goes on the attack demanding, where are the children smuggled across our border? Where? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 1-800-644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When you were last before this committee, we talked about the tens of thousands, it's actually 420,000 unaccompanied migrant children who have come across the border under your watch. We talked about the reports of the number of these children who have been lost, who have been sold into labor trafficking, into sex trafficking. Since your last appearance, the numbers have grown worse. It now approaches 100,000 children, according to public reports, 100,000 children lost by your department and the Biden administration, migrant children sold into labor trafficking and sex trafficking. Now, your Department of Homeland Security Investigations has the authority to do child exploitation investigations. How many of these kids have you gotten back?
Senator, we actually have prioritized the rescue of children who have been human trafficked. Our role in the immigration process is to, with respect to unaccompanied children specifically, is to turn them over under the law within 72 hours to the Department of Health and Human Services, and that is indeed what we do.
That is a lie. That is a lie, first and foremost. Are there cases where maybe Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas is correct that we, after 72 hours, turning them over to Health and Human Services? Many, when they show up at the border, either have a phone number attached to their clothing or written on their body, and the Border Patrol is so overwhelmed, it calls that number and says, we have someone here identified as Maria, whatever. Do you? Yeah, I'm expecting, but you're sending her on up. And our government transports those kids, via commercial or otherwise, to wherever they were supposed to go, and we don't really vet who they're going to. We have no idea. And I've raised this repeatedly. I don't know how many times, but I'll do it again. I don't know how Biden can possibly close his eyes and go to sleep at night, or any member of the progressives, or Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, and not think about those children and what happens to them. Some of them might have actually been stolen from their family somewhere, and they're being brought here because the cartels are using them to get money. Some of them might have been sold to the cartels by their family members, and some of them are just gathered up and shipped somewhere to either be used for forced labor, mainly maybe around machinery that is dangerous for even an adult to be near, and many of them, of course, put in sex dens. You do not even want to stop and think about what happens to a child who is delivered to somebody that has several children already being presented to pedophiles for different prices and for a variety of acts. You will go down a rabbit hole like I often do and just think, how in the hell do we help these kids? We help by shutting the border so they're not brought here. Will they be trafficked elsewhere? Possibly, probably so. But we cannot as a nation allow this to happen. And yet we have child trafficking on a continuous basis. That's even with children inside our border that are American citizens. They run away from home. They found somebody that will listen to them, they think, that will care for them, and suddenly they find themselves tied down on a bed. And they'll be used as long as they're used for until they get too old, and then they're discarded, just like wadding up a piece of paper and throwing out the window of your car. Litter. Treating them like litter. That was Missouri Senator Hawley pressing Mayorkas. Where are the kids? Well, let's go back to pressing Mayorkas because he makes his lie, and obviously Hawley's not buying it.
How many of the children, nearly 100,000 children, in the New York, you've read the New York Times reports, I assume, Mr. Secretary.
I have read many reports, Senator Hawley.
But do you know what I'm talking about with the number of children who have been sent to do operate heavy machinery, who are not being paid, who are not going to school, who are being denied food, migrant children unaccompanied, who are now in the clutches of labor traffickers? You're familiar with this, right?
That is precisely why I revised our worksite enforcement.
Good. How many of the kids have you gotten back then? 85,000 or more now lost contact. With it's been months since you were last year. How many of those children have you rescued?
Senator,
can you give me a number?
You are conflating issues.
So you can't give me a number. You haven't rescued any of these children. You haven't gotten any of them back.
You are conflating issues and what is within our remit and what is outside of it.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound to me like this is a priority, and I have to tell you that's what your own agents tell me as well.
Mayorkas claims that the senator is conflating issues because he's talking about these children that are trafficking across the border. What are you doing about it? He says, well, we're doing everything, and you're conflating that with those crossing our border. Where's the conflation basically is you're trying to merge two or more sets of information all together that fit one narrative. There's no conflation. There's illegal immigration, which brings those kids to our border and through our border with the Biden open border policy. And where they go from there, did you hear him? Did you hear Mayorkas cite anything about how we know where some of them are, a number of them are, a percentage of them? No, because they don't know. They do not know, and they're showing that they really don't care. And the best way out for him is, Senator, you're conflating the issues. You're distracting. You're not focusing on the real. The issue is the child, Mayorkas, the child. What is happening to them? And again, when Senator Hawley tries to press him and point out, look, I got whistleblowers that can tell me more than what you want to volunteer here while you're in our hearing.
A whistleblower from your Agency of Homeland Security Investigations has come to me and has said that special agents who are working on child trafficking cases and fentanyl interdiction cases have been pulled off of their investigations and sent to the southern border. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these agents at a time, taken out of the field, taken off child exploitation cases, and sent to the southern border. Here's some of what she said. She said, we're being told to shut down investigations, to go hand out sandwiches and escort migrants to the shower and sit with them while they're in the hospital and those types of tasks. Mr. Secretary, you're taking special agents away from investigating child traffickers and child exploitation when you've lost tens of thousands of kids to traffickers and you're sending them to make sandwiches at the border. What is going on?
You are incorrect, Senator.
Oh, you're incorrect. Well, then I assume then you would have a stack pile of information that you could present to the senator and say, da, 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 and list. He doesn't come in with any papers, any documents. If he has them, they're in a folder, never bothers to open it. He just off the top of his head because he believes, I am the Department of Homeland Security Secretary. I don't have to answer to a Missouri senator or anyone other than Joe Biden. And I'm doing what Joe Biden wants me to do. And there is, again, a reason that Mayorkas should be impeached, because he is not doing his job that he took an oath for as well, to protect and preserve our nation. And he's not even doing it to protect and preserve these children. They come in, we send them out, we know not where or what happens to them. Because you talk about a callous concern. I told you earlier in the beginning of this segment, I let you listen to VP Harris talk about how bad it was for the children, especially in Gaza. And my heart bleeds for those kids caught in the midst of that. I don't see Harris or any of the progressives bleeding for children who are brought across our border and sold into slavery and or sex dens. Where is your bleeding heart now? Once again, Missouri Senator Hawley.
Are there special agents from HSI at the border?
Senator, we have a number of priorities. We prioritize trafficking in children. We prioritize the fight against fentanyl. We prioritize...
Mr. Secretary, you're not answering my question. You're not answering my question. Are there HSI special agents who are currently at the border, having been pulled away from other cases?
Combating,
yes or no?
Combating the fight against fentanyl, yes.
How many agents are currently at the border having been pulled off of their other cases?
To fight the scourge of fentanyl, I'd be very pleased to provide you with that data.
That's not what the special agent is alleging. That's not what she said. She said that they're being taken off of fentanyl interdiction, off of child exploitation cases, off of their other investigations into criminals to make sandwiches. That's her quote. You're saying that this is a lie? That she's wrong?
Senator, we have a number of law enforcement priorities with the resources.
Is making sandwiches one of them?
We have, of course not, Senator. We accomplish a tremendous amount.
Is she wrong?
Because of the tremendous talent and dedication of our personnel, including Homeland Security investigators.
Making sandwiches for illegal immigrants. Is she wrong? This is one of your agents. Is she wrong? She says that there are 600 at least special agents pulled off of other cases, sent down to the border to babysit illegal immigrants. Is she wrong?
Senator, our personnel, we use our personnel to achieve the maximum law enforcement objective possible. That is what we do.
And so you're not going to deny it.
And I'm incredibly proud of what our people do
single day. This is news. Well, I want to thank this brave whistleblower for coming forward and let the record reflect that the secretary will not deny what she has said.
Will not deny it. That'd be the simplest thing to do. But of course, then it has to support his denial. And he knows he can't. And while he's talking about fentanyl, there is a new concern about deaths that have been documented in Colorado. Probably more will be confirmed. Nitazenes are synthetic chemicals that have been around for decades, but now they're apparently showing up in multiple formations, and they're considered 10 times more deadly than fentanyl. And they are also being trafficked across the border. And our DHS secretary says, well, no, we're doing our job. You're not doing your job. You don't even know your job. Coming up, what you need to know about tomorrow's Super Tuesday and the State of the Union address.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. This is a busy month on so many levels. First of all, tomorrow is Super Tuesday. Now, why is it called Super Tuesday? We have numerous states, 15 of them, holding primaries, and not only for Republicans, but for Democrats as well. These include Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, Virginia. They're all holding primaries. Alaska and Utah are holding caucuses. Now, 11 of the 15 states that are holding GOP primaries are open to more than just registered Republicans, which means look for more votes for Nikki Haley to surface in those states. If you don't have to be a registered Republican to vote in the primary, it's a common tactic for other members of the party to go into an opposing party's primary and cast ballots for someone they just would rather run against or to diminish what appears to be the lead of the front-running candidate for that particular party. So she might end up picking some more votes and delegates up in those states that allow you to vote, even if you're not a registered Republican. I just want to point that out now, because don't be shocked when suddenly you see Haley has some extra delegates. She got 19 over the weekend out of D.C. She got 64%, and Trump got around 30. That was to be expected in the GOP primary. Now, let me remind you also that the same states I just listed, except Alaska, are holding Democrat primaries. American Samoa, a U.S. territory, will be holding a Democrat caucus. The Iowa Democrat caucus took place in January entirely by mail because the Democrat National Committee primary calendar did not want Iowa to be first this time around because they thought they wouldn't look good in that. So those results should be released tomorrow as well. But it's Super Tuesday because more delegates are at stake tomorrow than on any other single date during the primary campaign. 865 Republican delegates will be allocated in the Republican primary. The GOP nominee must get 1,215 delegates. So if Trump wins all of those tomorrow, he'll still be short at that point, based on the numbers we've seen so far. But the Democrat primaries will allot 1,420 delegates. And to have the Democrat primary nomination, you need 1,968, but there are really no votes there available for anyone else in the Democrat primary. According to one estimate by a director of elections and data analytics, March 12th will be the earliest date, by which Trump could win enough delegates to clinch the Republican nomination. So keep that in mind, March 12th. Now, another thing to keep in mind, aside from the delegate count and the votes going on tomorrow, we'll be watching and monitoring it for you all throughout News Talk STL throughout tomorrow. As I said, this is a busy time because Thursday of this week, Joe Biden will convene a joint session of Congress, cabinet, military leaders, Supreme Court justices. This will be his State of the Union address. It is possible the government could be partially shut down, headed toward a full shutdown as of Thursday. His speech is falling between a pair of critical government funding deadlines, and right now, lawmakers are still deeply divided on a plan to keep all the lights on. The clock is ticking. Apparently no resolution in sight, according to even CNN and N. They say a two-step plan passed in January extended funding through March 1 for parts of our government, including military construction, Departments of Veterans Affairs, Ag, Housing and Urban Development, Transportation and Energy. The rest of the government not covered by that first step would be funded through March 8. Now, if the Congress fails to pass a spending measure, Biden will be delivering his address as about 20% of the federal government has, quote, run out of money. And on the eve of the second spending deadline, which could have, as CNN points out, massive implications for the U.S. economy and national security. I don't know if I'd buy massive implications for national security, but it would be unique. In fact, CNN notes it would mark the first time a U.S. president has delivered a State of the Union address during a government shutdown, partial or otherwise, and it would reflect how an increasingly polarized Congress has repeatedly struggled to reach consensus on what was once a growing, or rather a governing, imperative. We want to have the government continue, but we want to not just simply do whatever the Democrats do, and their way of saying a compromise means they want us to step three steps toward them, and they will back up half a step. That's their idea of a compromise. And don't forget, Senator Mitchell, who is resigning from chair of the Republican leadership, is hung on to Ukraine spending, did a deal behind curtains with Chuck Schumer, that we would go ahead and get money for Ukraine and money for Israel and would throw some money to the border, but not really for border enforcement. And that's where the division came between Republicans and Democrats and even inside the Republican ranks. We don't want just money thrown to the border to put more agents down there to make sandwiches, as you were hearing Josh Hawley refer to earlier, or to simply process illegals coming across, make it happen quicker. We want them down there to shut the border. And in fact, I'm looking at a piece written by The Hill earlier, and they were talking about this Ukraine spending package might well be the albatross around, I said, Mitchell McConnell's neck as he prepares to finish up his term in the Senate and November step aside from leadership. We've got to get rid of Republicans like him entirely, not only in the House but in the Senate. We've got to have Republicans, conservatives, independents that stand strong with steel spine and they do not buckle at the knees and they darn sure don't bend over. Because that's what we're getting from many of them right now. You can't be friends with anyone. It's back. While I'm not going to call our U.S. senators that are voting a different way than I think they should, I'm not calling them terrorists, but I will stress this point again. This administration, like the Obama administration, believes if we give enough to Iran, they will like us. They are terrorists. They're never going to like you. They're never going to give you what you want. They'll take what you give them and ask for more, or demand more, or take more. And I want members of our Congress, Republican and Democrats, to wake up to that fact. So Joe Biden appears, he'll be trumpeted in, the Sergeant of Arms will announce the President of the United States. And Joe Biden will walk in, the mounting cheers and applause, light applause from the Republicans, but polite. But we will be possibly at that time already in a partial government shutdown and about ready to move to the next stage. I'm looking at Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. He said previously, we need to use every single point of leverage, including the spending and certainly including an address to the people from Congress, because it comes at the invitation of Congress. Republicans are in charge of the House. There's no reason we should invite him to get more propaganda. He was suggesting last week, cancel the State of the Speech, State of the Union speech. Cancel it. Don't let him give it. We, the House, invite him. We, the House, since we control the House, we will not invite him. That would not be the first time that's happened. If you recall, Nancy Pelosi basically wanted Donald Trump to move his State of the Union address or delivered in writing amid supposed security concerns. And, of course, he eventually delivered the address after a 35-day government shutdown. And when he finished, I'm sure you have not forgotten how she sat behind him in full view, knowing she was on camera, and ripped his speech apart. I remember that, and I pray you do. That was the attitude of his first State of the Union address from Nancy Pelosi. And now, of course, they want us to, let's forgive and forget. Well, I'm not ready to forgive, and I'm certainly not going to forget. Then, of course, we have Joe Biden has other issues, one of them being his son. As you know, Hunter Biden last week testified behind closed doors, giving his deposition. The next phase will be a full public hearing. I can't wait for that. But Jonathan Turley, a law professor at George Washington University and also a Fox News contributor, says Hunter might have damaged his dad's case.
What Hunter Biden did is he confirmed the essential elements of what has been alleged by these committees, that they received a great deal of money from Russia, from China, from Ukraine, and at least $40,000 of Chinese money made it into the account of President Biden. Now, this is the same person who said that his son didn't make any money in China. It turns out he not only made money, but President Biden received some of that money. He also confirms other aspects of this. Well, what he keeps on saying is a mantra is that all of this was perfectly legal. He adds that it's perfectly ethical, which is really something that left many of us dumbfounded. You know, you can say that influence peddling can be done legally, but no one argues it's done ethically. It is corrupt.
You know, I'm listening to that remark from Jonathan Turley, and I'm not really sure even why he has said you could argue that it's done legally, because if it's a crime, I don't see how it could be. But that was his view, and I don't know that anyone actually took him to task on that point. But the point he did make is Hunter Biden basically placed more damning evidence against Daddy as he testified behind closed doors, because there's certain things he just could not deny. Now, we'd heard from other members of Congress as they came out, yes, mostly Republican, saying that, you know, well, he seemed to do a turnaround on some of the things and give conflicting evidence, give conflicting testimony from what we got in front of us. And keep in mind, they're not just talking about a he said, she said. They've got Snapchats, they've got videos, they've got bank deposit checks, they've got actual bank wire transfers, all of this to show that Hunter Biden and Daddy were being involved to some extent one way or the other. All the time, remember how many times did Joe Biden insist, I know nothing about my son's business deals. I've had nothing to do with it, and I don't know what you mean about that, that China thing. Like, China is a, you know, maybe one of the smallest nations in the world, and he knows nothing about it. No one believed it then. No one believes it now. And after Hunter Biden finished his testimony the other day, Jonathan Turley says he basically did not intentionally roll over on his daddy, but in fact he did.
What we now know is that the president was involved and was confirmed by Hunter Biden is involved in a great number of these meals, these dinners, these meetings. He was clearly aware of his son's dealings with foreign governments. He lied during the campaign. But more importantly, he had to be aware that his son was influence peddling. It was being covered in some of the media. We have a tape recording on the laptop from President Biden dealing with a New York Times article that deals with his foreign dealings. So, you know, the statement of the president is manifestly false. And a lot of this confirmed that. So the question is, what do we do about that?
What do we do about it? We continue to press forward with impeachment of Joe Biden for those grounds. It should amount to high crimes and misdemeanors. And maybe abuse of ice cream while you're at it. Throw it in there. What the heck? We're going to see how that plays out. I cannot wait for the public hearing when Hunter Biden is on the stand and we're able to watch and listen to him directly. There was no videotape made inside that deposition the other day. I assume there was an audio tape. We know there was a transcript. We've been given the transcript. But inflections and tone, that tells you a lot, or it does to me many times in watching something like that. You should know this, and I saved it for the last part of this hour in this program today. Again, as I told you in the beginning, Trump got a ruling in the Supreme Court today, 5-4 decision, I mean actually a 9-0 decision, that he could not be banned from any state ballot, but there was an undercurrent 5-4 decision on maybe the justices should have dealt with it in a different fashion, but in the end, they all agreed the states could not ban Donald Trump from the ballot. Maine has now pulled him off, or put him back on the ballot. Illinois will have to. But here comes Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat, saying, you know what? The fact that they unanimously overturned the Colorado court, the court didn't exactly disagree with him being on the ballot. They just said they're not the ones to figure it out. It's going to be a matter for judicial resolution under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It's up to Congress to enforce it. I disagree with that interpretation just because the other parts of the 14th Amendment are self-executing. You go to court, say something that violates equal protection, even if there's not a federal statute that allows them to do that. But in any event, he said the Supreme Court punted, and now it's up to Congress to act. So Jamie Raskin is proposing, I'm working with a bunch of colleagues already, we're going to put up some legislation determining anyone who committed insurrection is disqualified. You didn't think it was really going to end, did you? Of course it's not. Well, this program is about to end. I thank you for listening. Rob Carter is next. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.